Well, this is loading here. How many folks have heard about Section 508 compliance? Fantastic. So I'm going to skip all over the definition points on that. This little comic strip here is from some colleagues over in the UK, and it's called the Web Credibles. And what these folks are doing is basically superheroes that go around trying to make sure that websites are compliant. And I just picked this one to start off thinking that the audience might not have known so much about Section 508 compliance. It sounds like this group has a foundation in it. And this is just a funny little comic strip that talks about using alternative tags, or alt tags as they're called for short, and the importance that they have to the audience, which in this case is a visually impaired computer user. So I'll skip over that. As Banush mentioned, what we really want to talk about in this presentation today is the importance of Section 508 compliance as it relates to the federal government. And for those of you that are not necessarily in the federal government, but will be posting to the Finn site, for example, or if you have links from a federal site to your site, these are some elements that you'll need to know about to make your life a little bit easier working with us going forward. So we're going to talk about some of the compliance requirements that relate to web compliance, as well as to creating document compliance around Section 508. And I'll also discuss a few of the resources that our team in communications has used to ease our way through this process as well. So when we talk about Section 508 compliance, there's two parts that we think about. First is the law. So it's actually Section 508 of the Rehabilitation Act. And I've cited that for you in case you wanted the letter of the law to refer back to. And then the other part is the need. So why is it important that Section 508 compliance be implemented? This isn't really just for the general public who visits our websites, although those numbers that you see there reference that group, but it's also for employees that we may have on the federal side or private industry that would benefit from making websites more compliant and more user-friendly. And the advent of using the web for more cost-effective communications, as most of us are probably strapped with budgets and having to resort to putting more of our resources on the web, is also an impetus for following these rules and making the websites a lot more user-friendly. So one of the things that, for those of you that may have submitted, whether it be a poster or a presentation to this conference, you were asked to create a compliant piece to submit. Did anyone in the audience have to do that for this conference, either as a poster presenter or a session presenter? Okay, quite a bit. Well, let's talk about that as we go through and ask some of those questions as we go through. That'd be great. So as you were putting those posters together, those pieces together, you probably visited some sites that we'll talk about a little bit later. And we're also going to talk about products that you could use that are free so that you can test for compliance on your own. So the first piece we're going to talk about is specifically web compliance. This is a screenshot of the current National Center for Public Health Informatics website, and this is the announcements page. So I just want you to notice on the top right, the text sizer is circled. So one of the points around Section 508 is that you offer your user the ability to increase the size of the text. And whether you have the capability to do it via one of these mechanisms, or you simply just create your website to have larger font, preferably between 12 and 14 point, then you're helping to abide by the letter of the law. The other point to identify is the middle middle red circle, and that is identifying an additional link with not just an arrow, but also with text. And that's one of the guidelines as well, is to communicate information not just in one manner, so not just by an image, an arrow, but also to add text along to that piece. And then at the bottom, you'll see an alternative tag or an alt tag describing the image that the arrow was pointing at, which is that little Finn Communities of Practice box. The other thing that we've done in making this website more compliant, and I'll just let you know, when we're talking about Web 508 compliance, there's a lot more coding that goes in the background, so you won't see a lot of elements like I'll show you in a document, in making a document compliant, that go into this. But this website was done with a lighter background and then darker font to make it stand out a little bit more. There's some websites that I've come across that are quite loud color-wise and make it very difficult for someone to go and find the information that they need. This is a screen capture of the format picture box that will come up whenever you're trying to format an image on a presentation or whatnot. And what I've done here is to write in the alternative text of the image that we previously saw, the website itself. And I won't read this to you, but as you're looking at it, identify that when you're creating an alt tag, you don't want to just say picture, or you don't want to say picture of a red box or something like that. You really want to put more detail into it so that you're helping the reader, again, the text reader particularly, that your client might be using or a visitor to your page might be using, have a better idea of what it is that they're viewing and going over. So a few do's and don'ts in terms of 508 compliance for your websites. The do's, we've kind of gone through some of those, and those are particularly use the alt tags for images, use font size that can easily be identified and read, high contrast text with background colors that are not assaulting the eye, if you will, and then the text links that are represented with more than just an image or another form of navigation. And then try not to use too much overlapping elements so that it makes it difficult for a text reader to capture what is being delivered, the type of information that you're delivering. Also, I found quite a few websites that have used color primarily to identify what to do next, or they'll have a flickering element that creates a lot of difficulty for somebody with a motion impairment. So those are some things to think about. This rule does not really just apply to people with vision impairments. It also is relevant to folks who have some type of mobility disorder. So now, with respect to document compliance, this is a fairly simple example that I have in terms of Excel. If anybody here has ever used a text reader before, and this is something that you can easily use off of Adobe to just check your document, you'll notice that the text reader, if you have cells blocked off, like in the example on the bottom of this slide, it chops up the reading, so it's very difficult for the person using the text reader to really understand the information that you're trying to convey. So one of the elements with respect to compliance in Excel documents is not to merge those cells. And again, this presentation isn't in any way a how to create something to be 5.0 compliant, but it's just to give you an idea of the elements that you want to look for when putting these together. In terms of testing for compliance, what our team has used is a number of these products that you see up on the screen right now. The one that Cynthia says is the one that I've personally used, and I'm not what I would consider, or my team would consider, very high-tech savvy. So Cynthia Says allows me to quickly just paste a link to the Cynthia Says website from our own page, and then it will run a review of that page and tell me what is non-compliant about that page, allowing me to go back and fix it. And again, that's something that's available and free, so many of us can access that fairly quickly. The other piece is, if you have questions about some of our folks who are techie savvy, are in the front row here and in the audience, and they can easily answer that for you. So how do you get started in terms of implementing this into your business practice, whether you are collaborating with Finn or perhaps other groups that embody the federal government? my recommendation would be to start with increasing your personal awareness, your staff's awareness about what the guidelines and requirements are. So as federal entities, we have a more stringent guideline to follow. As a private industry, you may not need to follow these, but it would be good for you to know your role as somebody who's just posting or somebody perhaps who's linking off of a federal site. So for our subject matter experts, who are the ones creating the documents that will be placed onto the website, they really need to know what are the things, for example, in the Excel spreadsheet that I showed you, I need to know not to merge my cells when I'm creating a document such as that. Or in Word, I need to know to do X. Whereas your web publishers really need to know, how do I code a site so that it's appropriate? How do I make sure that there's enough color contrast and images are alt tagged, and et cetera? So those are the things that I would say is to first increase the awareness around the guidelines. And secondly, create tip sheets. So once you've learned what needs to be done and what steps really aren't applicable to you and your group, create these tip sheets so that you can easily give them to staff who come on new, and it's fairly easy for them to take over and run with it. And that's something that we've started to do, creating a guideline document for our folks internally and posted that for our employees. And then the final piece is cross-train staff. Not all of us have the kind of budget that allows us to have 508 experts on staff or graphic designers and et cetera. So build your groups so that they are aware of what is required so that they can easily do it. This doesn't require a master's degree in 508 compliance, just basic awareness of what needs to be done. These, I would say, there's tons of resources that you can target for learning more about 508 compliance, but I would highlight these two as probably the ones that we refer to the most. Particularly, the Section 508.gov website offers quite a bit of checklists that you can use, and those are fairly easy to download, and it gives you a good understanding of the law, not so much the technical pieces that make it difficult to interpret, but very reader-friendly. And then the HHS.gov website on Section 508 offers online training that you can also look at and review, as well as provide for your staff. I'd like to acknowledge the Deloitte consulting team, who helped us significantly in our early efforts to put together the 508 compliance documents for our initial efforts, and that they continue to work with us in supporting 508 compliance, as well as staff members on our communications team, Mr. Tony McDonald in the front row, and Ms. Martha Timms, one of our other IT specialists as well. So I guess we're taking questions at the end, so I will cut that out. And I thank you so much for your time.